Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Pneumatica. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's show is entitled Seduction, the Moral Impeachment of Common Sense. And I have another definition of seduction that reads, seduction, quote, the art of promising everything and delivering nothing, unquote. I think it is very important for the believing community to understand the art of seduction, which also means the art of carefully orchestrated betrayal, which makes the individual who is the victim to be a part of his or her own undoing. It is a very subtle and very malicious and devious science that must be understood. One is to have any understanding about how this world in which we live is constructed. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul tells us that the Iesus has delivered us from this present evil age. Very interesting, is it not? And therefore, Paul understood this. In John's Gospel, the Jesus himself said, in this world, literally cosmos, you will be in tribulation. And in the Greek text, it reads, he says, in this cosmos, in cosmos this, you will be in tight places. So the Word of God, according to Proverbs chapter 1, is given to us in order that we might have wisdom. Chachma in the Greek, Sophia, Chachma in the Hebrew and Sophia in the Greek. Wisdom. Word of God gives or provides us the wisdom we need. And I want to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to begin with verse 1 and then read to verse 3. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I want to draw your attention to verse 3. And notice what Paul states. As the serpent beguiled, and that word in the Greek means to totally deceive. Just think about that. We're going to go to Genesis 3 in a moment, but I want you to think about seduction, the art of promising everything and delivering nothing. Think about that as we look at verse 3. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his, not subtlety, but trickery. Well, you might say, well, what trickery did he employ against the person of Eve? What trickery did he employ? Well, he used words. He used words cunningly and adroitly against her. She believed that she understood what he was saying to her. She looked at the obvious meaning of the words, and she did not listen to the intonation, the underlying tone. She did not listen to the subtle reasoning that was being used against her. She was led into a trap. She believed that she knew what was going on, and she really did not know. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety or trickery, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, Paul doesn't say simplism. He does not mean that in this context. But so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That is in Christ. The word corrupted there means to destroy. It moreover means to seduce to evil company and or corrupt opinions. It means to seduce to evil company. There is the believing community of called out ones who are called the ecclesia or the church. And let me say at this point that the church is not a physical structure or a building. The church is a living organism. The church is the body, the living body of the resurrected Christ, who is the head of the body. Paul's letter to the Ephesians was written to those who comprise the body of Christ. But Paul's letter to the Colossians is about Christ, the kephale, the head of the church, from whom the church receives its structure, its mentality, its nourishment. It's received directly from him. We are members one of another. And I said in yesterday's show that the word brother, as used in the New Testament, not the way it is used commonly in the Western version of Christianity today, the word is adelphos, and it means of the same womb. The biblical definitions are radically different from the terms that we use today that have been baptized as it were, with cultural embellishments and cultural accommodations, which serve to wall those who comprise the body of Christ off from one another into little cultural subgroups. And one does not find that teaching at all within the New Testament. One does not find that teaching in the New Testament. Very different, is it not? Very, very different. And First Corinthians chapter 15, a very long chapter on the resurrection. Paul uses, there's a very interesting verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to focus on verse 33, but I'm going to start at verse 31 and read down to verse 34. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of man I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage did it give me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In this very powerful and pivotal chapter, Paul defends the resurrection. And again, as we read in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says something very important. Verse 33 says, be not deceived. That is, do not be led astray. Do not be off the given path. In John's Gospel, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father except by me, the word way there is hodos, it's road. Jesus said, I am the road. And so Paul is telling the saints at Corinth that he does not want them to deviate from the divinely laid path. Evil communications, and you can draw a line to the word communications because here it is evil companionship. Paul just used that word in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Evil companionship corrupts, again, destroy. Well, we read in our Bibles, some may read good manners. However, in the Greek text, it reads ethos. Ethos. E-T-H-O-S. Evil companionship destroy ethos. That is one's customary abode or dwelling place. In other words, evil companionship seduces members of the believing community into leaving their customary abode or dwelling place, and that is where there is peace and safety in Christ. They are invited to compromise. They are invited to engage in activity that is certainly not consistent with godly common sense in Christ. So please think about this verse. Be not deceived. Evil companionship destroys ethos. We, as the believing community, have an ethos. And I want you to understand that I know seduction is used in our culture to talk about sexual seduction. But I want you to see, I want to give a holistic view of seduction. Because I'm not talking about the end result of seduction, that which leads to criminal activity against oneself. I'm not talking about that this morning. I am talking about a theology, as it were, of a biblical theology of seduction, and how sexual seduction is a species of seduction. There are other species of seduction too. So I want to give a general understanding of a theology of seduction from God's word, so that you will be equipped, so that you will recognize what is going on, when it is going on. Understand the package that is delivering a particular message to you, so that you can say in your sanctified soul, that is the soul that is set aside unto God, what are the tidings? Now, we talk about spiritual discernment, but if our spiritual discernment is merely emotional and based on how I feel at a particular time, then I'm going to certainly be led astray. We're not talking about emotions or feelings or the warm fuzzies. We're talking about intelligent, cogent insight into people, things, and circumstances. Intelligent, cogent awareness and or insight into people, things, and circumstances. Armed with an appropriate understanding of the doctrine of seduction, one can guard one's heart, as is stated in the book of Proverbs, for from it flow the issues of life. Guard your heart. In Genesis chapter 2, God said to the Adam, guard your home. Guard your home. Guard your home. Guard your heart. Now, God uses these terms very specifically. He told the Adam, guard your home. In Proverbs, he says, guard your heart, for from it flow the issues of life. God more than gives constructive notice to us. God more than gives us formal constructive notice. God has provided 66 books so that we would become cogent and aware, spiritually mature individuals, so that we should not be seduced by false doctrine, so that we should not be seduced, so that we do not give up our ethos, our customary abode of rich spirituality in Christ. God gives us cogent awareness so that, as recorded in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the man who is seduced by the wayward one who says to him, come. She says it's to the simple man, come, let us take our fill of love. My husband is gone on a business trip. I have made ready my bed. I have perfumed it. Let us take our fill of love. And the Bible says that the one who listens to her will be brought to a piece of bread. He who commits adultery lacks sense. See, that's the other side of seduction. See, now he is caught. Now he is trapped. Seduction is about entrapment. Or the wolves who come in sheep's clothing. Or the Trojan horse. Or the sirens who with their beautiful, alluring, seductive voices lured the ships toward the rocks and to their destruction. Thy word is a light unto my feet. Seduction is not about your attractiveness so much as it is about a predatory personality whose insatiable desire is to destroy or to lure certain ones away from their ethos. The reason why the Jesus left the 99 sheep and went after the one that went astray was because he knew danger that one who had gone astray would encounter. He knew this. We need to understand and recognize the manner and the ways of the seducer. The Bible tells us that when the beast comes on the scene, and in the Greek New Testament, it is the pherion, that is the wild beast. When he comes on the scene, we are told that he will employ seduction. Who can make war with Ethereum? See, wonderful oratory, attractiveness. Words that entice, words that betray, words that lead astray, words that seduce. It is the art and science of manipulation. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No, never, no, never, no, never, no, never. We abide under the shadow of his wings. We depend on the power of God. We live under the power of God. We trust in the power of God. See, it is very important that the soul is stabilized with truth, so that the soul is not led astray. Pastors who have been trained and are, to understand and teach the Word of God know this. They are able. They are prepared. They spend their lives going off to be trained in order to be worthy leaders of God's heritage, to be worthy pastors. Did you know that the word pastor or shepherd means to protect? Jesus is the primary. He is the shepherd par excellence. I am the good shepherd. That word shepherding, once again, means to protect. And we need to get back to the biblical understanding of pastor. I don't read in the New Testament all these different designations of pastors, worship pastor, and on and on and on. I don't read that in the New Testament. But I do understand church polity and that the organizational structure within a contemporary church may blur what is written in the Word of God. Pastor primarily is one who protects. He builds God's people up in God's Word. See, he is one who has been given the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher in order to teach the Word of God to the people of God. He understands seduction. He teaches the people of God so that they are not led away from their ethos in Christ, so they are not corrupted or seduced. You and I know that there are persons who are susceptible to flattery. They want flattery. They want the attention. Sorry, ever inappropriate. We must teach our young people, and there are some who are not so young, to understand the treachery of seduction. And it, once again, it is a scandalous betrayal of the believing ones, godly common sense. This morning, if you know or are cognizant of a situation in which a person is at risk for seduction, be it to give up their retirement, their savings, to sign away their property, in touch with an appropriate professional, or someone who is in a dangerous situation with an individual, who knows that he has walled a young woman off and isolated her from her family. This is all about manipulation and seduction. Be in prayer. There are appropriate mental health organizations in your area. One of them is NAMI. They can help. They can be reached. Become a source of active good, not benign passive. Well, I wish do something to help somebody who is in danger today. God will bless you, and you will know that you are blessed. And it will encourage you to go out and help someone else who needs help. We live in days of great distress, great spiritual distress. Our next show, I'm going to go back into this topic of seduction. Have a wonderful day. Bless you. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich.